Welcome, everybody, to the Hammer and Rails podcast, late night edition. With you, as always, I'm your host, Andrew Ledman.
And I'm Casey Bartley.
We are recording immediately following Purdue's
reaction podcast.
Narrow victory over the Florida Atlantic Owls. 28-26 is your final score. Purdue finds a way to win after almost finding a way to lose, as they have done twice already this season. My goodness, this was just a game that no one wanted to win, but somehow Purdue found a way to walk out with two more points than FAU. Casey, what's your just immediate reaction after this victory?
One of the worst coaching decision showdowns I've ever seen in my life. Just one-upsmanship. Just hold my beers all around. You don't have enough hands for as many beers that needed to be held.
Yeah, I know you had a particular problem with FAU not trying to get the field goal there in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, it's third and goal from your 18-yard line. Nothing good is happening from you setting back to drop. Nothing.
No.
You don't have enough room to get beyond the defense, so they're going to set up in a zone, they're going to guard every position, and then they're going to send four or five guys at your quarterback. Just hand the ball off. Hand the ball off or have one quick route and then just go down with it. You are not going to get in the end zone. The only thing that could have happened is what happened. A pretty bad pass got tipped, deflected, and then into the hands of Jefferson. And all of a sudden, you go from having the lead to, turnover. Just terrible.
Yeah, I mean, Jefferson really saved Purdue's ass on that. It's his second interception of the year. The guy came up from a D2 program, really getting his chance to shine on a much bigger stage. Had a hell of a return on it, too. But, man.
He almost fumbled.
Yes, he did. But without that interception, as you said, you know, FAU's in position for a field goal, more than likely makes it just because it's Purdue. And suddenly they're up in the game and Purdue's got a scramble.
Whole different game.
Yeah, I mean, it just changes everything. But because FAU was not content to get the field goal, they wanted the touchdown, you know, Purdue found themselves in a fortunate situation. So, but of all the decisions that Jeff Braum made in this game that you have questions with about, what stands out?
Oh, boy. I think it starts off with setting a tone. And that they score in their first drive.
Yeah, drive was great.
They got some running game going, but what they got was a quick pass to Charlie Jones.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't build on it with anything. They just kept going back to the same screenplay.
Yeah.
That FAU was going to figure out. But then the whole rest of the half, pretty much, you're just running these. You're not doing your backup quarterback a favor by running on first and second down. What you're doing is giving him third and longs.
Right.
Those are the hardest. It's the easiest time to pass is on first down.
Mm-hmm.
Give him easy looks then. Shorten the field. Then use his legs in your running back, in your running game. But not the other way around. You should have more than enough 5 to 7 yard plays. Draw them up. Go to them. Pass the ball early, then run on. It's just, we just lollygagged a little bit because play calling got stale again. We lacked aggressiveness again. And there was no rhythm to be found because after that first touchdown, we went four plays and a punt, three plays and a punt, four plays and down. And then we scored at the end of the half because we had to pass. Maybe you should have been throwing the whole time, Brown.
Yeah, I mean, the only
we're
thing
not
I
built
would
to run.
Is, we did pretty well tonight running the ball. 188 yards. Downing had 113. Maccabee only had 37, but he also did great catching the ball out of the backfield. Wound up with 59 yards on four catches. So he looked good. The running game was surprisingly good, but you are correct. I mean,
in the second half, when we wore down a team that doesn't have bodies like we have.
Right. But I mean, for Burton, who played all but one series, which I had a problem with Alamo coming in anyway. I mean, what's the point of that when you're trying to get a guy who's started one game in his 6-year college career, this is only his second start of 6 years, and you're going to not let him get a rhythm? You got to leave him in the game. And so that's a whole other problem. But, I mean, he was 21 of 29, only had 166 yards passing, and I cannot remember a Jeff Brohm coached Purdue team that had only 166 yard passing.
You know what?
As you said,
you know what it
so
was,
many Levin? Of them were just screen passes.
You know what it was?
What?
He had no idea AOC wasn't going to play until 2 minutes before the game, so he probably didn't know who his backup was going to be. Didn't know who his starter would be.
Well, we heard that AOC wasn't going to play on Friday. So
no, we still don't even know what's wrong. It's an undisclosed injury.
Yeah, undisclosed.
Why are we doing this?
I probably still shouldn't. I don't know.
It was his ribs. It was his ribs.
Okay,
guys.
Well, there you go.
He got hit.
There you go.
What? Why are we doing this?
I don't know.
What?
I mean, I don't know what.
Advantage do you get? He's not on the field. If he was on the field, you might want to, I guess, hide the fact. But they're gonna try to hit him anyway.
Yeah.
The things that don't matter matter a lot to Brom, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah. But I will point out he was aggressive at times. Purdue went for it on 4th and 7 and converted, which was...
That was another dumb play by Florida Atlantic. So I think they got about 10 yards on that run. So
yeah,
it was the run before to set up the 4th and 7.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
To set up the 4th and 7, I believe... so they denied a penalty to keep it 4th and 7
right.
Instead of pushing it back to 3rd and 20-ish. You know they're going to go for it on 4th and 7. You cannot be that confident you're going to stop them at 4th and 7. And if anything... You take the yards, force them back, and hopefully you can hold them for within 12 yards. It was just mind-boggling.
I mean, I think the thought process for FAU there is, at the time, the score was 21-20. Purdue was up by just one. There was about 3 minutes left in the game. I think the thinking for FAU was, they're going to just punt the ball away and hope the defense can stop them, so why give them an extra down? I agree it was a risky decision on FAU's part, but if they had taken the penalty and given Purdue an extra opportunity, maybe it all works out the same. But it's
that's
just
fine,
kind of a
but you give your – like, you should – that was like the one good call that Brown made the whole game.
Oh, the 4th and 7?
To go for it on 4th and 7.
Yeah, I mean
– the one time he had a, like, aggressive play call at the right time. Just
yeah. There was, I take that, but there was a lot of time left. That was with 11 minutes left.
Yeah.
In the game. So maybe if you're FAU, you're thinking there's enough time. They're not going to try to go for it all right now and we'll get the ball back. But, and Purdue really got lucky on that pass anyway, because Charlie Jones made a hell of a turn, cut back to the middle of the field after he
lucky,
got the ball.
Lucky, or you mean we have the best 20 athletes on the field?
Well, that may be true, but I mean, Charlie Jones, there was no guarantee he was going to get that first down. He had to make a move to get those extra yards, wound up getting 14, but still, it was only because of his athleticism and his heady thinking that he cut in to the middle of the field rather than continuing on his route, because that could have been disastrous for Purdue.
Yeah, I mean, individual good play there, we would be doing a disservice to the accuracy of this game to highlight those plays, because this game was not about making plays. It was about making dumb decisions, dumb penalties. Can you believe it, Ledman?
On both sides. Both sides.
Both sides. But can you believe Purdue, once again, trying to stop a team? Stop them.
They did stop them.
It's just, you can't tell me that the ball that just bounced by you didn't realize, oh, probably should not lower my shoulder anymore.
Yeah. We are, of course, talking about the penalty after Purdue stopped them on 3rd and 5 on the ensuing possession.
Is this correct? The guy's name was OC Brothers? That's a good name.
Yeah. OC Brothers gets a personal foul, late hit after the incomplete pass. Like Casey said, lowers his shoulder and continues to go, runs into the receiver, knocks him on his ass. You're going to get called for that every time. I mean, that's a no-brainer penalty, whether we like it or not, whether we think it was a soft hit or whatever. If you don't, if you continue with your head down, your shoulder down, and throw it into a guy, you're going to get called.
Yeah, the reason I know it was late, because he actually knocked him down. If the play was live, he would have missed. Purdue can't tackle. They're awful. This game would have been over if we could just make an open field tackle.
We did miss. Well. We did miss quite a few, as we have been wont to do. But
we're just trying to hit the Madden hard hit stick every time.
I think the creation of the hit stick has been the problem with tackling in college football for years. All these kids grew up playing Madden. Now they want the hit stick. Don't want to wrap up.
I think they got rid of the hit stick, Clem.
I don't know. I haven't played a Madden game in years. And plus, I was joking anyway.
I know.
FAU also had terrible penalties. That one drive for Purdue, I think they had 4 different penalties, including a pass interference in the end zone.
Also, said that was like an obvious call. I don't think I would have called it. I
thought it looked pretty obvious. I mean, he grabbed him, he pushed him.
I saw the late part of the play.
Man, sloppy football on both sides. And just, like I said, this was a game no one seemed to want to win. Mm-mm. And... Purdue found a way to not lose the game. And even in doing that, you know, we get the turnover on FAU's quarterback sneak, which was such a weird play call.
You have a quarterback who runs like a 4-4, who's been carving us up on the edge all game.
Well, especially in the second half.
He maybe weighs 180 pounds. And they run a QB sneak out of a timeout.
And I mean, the way Purdue had lined up, Purdue had clearly knew this is what they wanted to do.
If they would have ran a play action.
Stacked the line. We would have been screwed.
What's going to happen when we play a real pass off? Our secondary is so bad.
I think next week is going to be a real eye-opener because Minnesota has just been putting up numbers against people. I think they put up like 48 points today. I gotta look up the score to see exactly what it was, but you know, they have been getting better and better under Fleck, whether you like the man or not.
Do not.
They only put up 34, so I was mistaken there, but 34-7 against Michigan State at Michigan State. The game was never in doubt.
We're gonna get wrecked.
I mean, I think you're right. At this point, I mean, Minnesota went up 24-0.
Even if our offense shows up, like, we can't cover. Like, once again, you watch a whole broadcast where the announcer in like the first quarter is like, look what this defense does. We play with one safety high. There's no help anywhere.
Yeah.
And anytime a receiver goes deep, there's no help anywhere.
Well, we don't always play that way. I mean, we were playing that way because we just assumed that FAU is going to try to run the ball more than they're going to pass. So, I mean, you take...
Guess what? Minnesota's going to run the ball more than they pass.
We did it
against Syracuse, too. Didn't work out great.
The difference is going to be Minnesota is a much better team than either Syracuse or FAU. So
he
that's going to be
60.
That's going to be a real problem for us next week, especially because that game is on the road in a stadium where Purdue has never won a football game, which is a whole other problem. I mean, this game is just so wild. Purdue, of course, tried to put more points on the board, missed a field goal. The announcers initially said it was tipped, but I watched the replay and
tipped.
I did not see it being tipped. It
That's
just
propaganda
like he,
for the foot.
He pushed it to the right. So
didn't just push it for the right. It was short. He was short
was
on
short
a 47
also.
Yard field goal.
Yeah.
Finneran's done this a couple times, and he's like the only kicker that I can ever remember that just he
gets the yips.
Just chunks it like a wedge, just digs into the ground or something.
Yeah.
It's not great.
No.
It's not confidence and boosting. Can we stop having Charlie Jones return kicks?
I mean, he was the Big Ten kick returner of the year last year,
he
right?
He keeps getting hurt.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's
going to be the receiver of the year. Can we have that?
Didn't have a single reception in the third quarter, Charlie Jones.
Yeah, he missed some of it, I think. But yeah, when AOC plays, we're used to seeing a bunch of people get a bunch of receptions and then Charlie Jones get his. And without that, Burton completed a pass to five guys.
Good burgers. You'd like a little bit more
five
from your
guys,
receivers.
Good burgers, bad stats.
Yeah, yeah. Not great fries. I don't care what anybody says. The best part of the fries is you just get this Cajun seasoning. That's
terrible.
The best part.
They're bad fries.
Yeah.
What did you think of Burton's play?
I thought he was fine. I mean, as a backup quarterback, I think that's about as good as you can hope for. He did decent running the ball, you know, trying to at least add additional dimension to the running game. But, man, that interception was bad. Bad in a different way than the AOC pick six was bad last week or 2 weeks ago, whatever that was. But, I mean, he just locked eyes on his receiver the whole time.
With that, he threw it 5 seconds late.
Yeah.
Like, you could see him look when the guy was open and then continue looking. And then two guys picked it off.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, what did you think of his play then?
Not very good.
I mean, there's a reason he's not the starter.
Yeah. I don't trust wobbly balls. as a life. Just a life.
Yeah.
He was fine. I think what happens when we lose AOC, who's able to pick mismatches and read a defense really quickly, really shows how few playmakers we have. And I thought that was pretty apparent today. I thought Payne Durham was going to have a better game.
Yeah, me too. Only ended up with 4 catches, 17 yards.
And I do think Burton missed a couple guys.
Yeah.
Looked like we had some deep shots that weren't taken. So
And Durham had at least one catch that was taken away by a Purdue penalty. That was a pretty good play, but I think 20 or 30 yards.
That was the play that drove me crazy. Brahms attempt on 3rd and 4, or yeah, 3rd and 4. Little play action jet sweep, and then have the tight end run a flat route in front of the quarterback. That's what you called a timeout for?
Yeah.
Catch the ball a yard behind the line of scrimmage. It was a great play in space by the defender, but you don't want that going to your tight end.
No.
That's got to
be
want a
somebody
speedy
with a little speed.
Run back.
Yeah,
run
maybe back. T.J. Sheffield or Maccabee.
So, but yeah, we're just so limited if it's not AOC out there. We have no chance to really compete. We beat a very bad team at home by 2 points. Barely.
2 points, yeah. And we even that at the end, on the kneel down, fumbled a snap and almost lost it.
Oh, my God.
Like,
what are we doing? No one jumped on the ball either, because he missed it when he first went down. Like, oh.
Yeah. I mean, could you just imagine, just imagine for a second, we have that bad snap, mess up the exchange, whatever, and
has that ever happened?
Falls on it.
Do you
oh,
have any
happened,
memory?
I'm sure, yeah.
Do you have any memory of losing a game that way, though?
No, no. But, I mean, imagine FAU falls on that ball. They've still got, you know, a timeout and throw a bomb and then line up for a field goal and Purdue loses.
Also,
I mean.
And that's another thing. Willie Taggart or whatever the coach's name was. They call a timeout on 3rd down. Again, we did this and they did this on 3rd down. They call a timeout to run that QB sneak. If they had another timeout, they'd get the ball back.
Yeah.
It just blows my mind. If you're going to call a timeout, it better be more than a scrunch 8-in-the-box QB sneak. I think you could have called. I think you could have communicated that one through your huddle.
You would think if you're going to take that timeout, if you're Taggart and FAU, you take the timeout and you say, all right, our primary option here is we're going to sneak. And, you know, Perry, we think you can get the yard or whatever it was. I mean, it might have even been a less than a yard. It was pretty close. Mm-hmm. But then say, you know, you're my quarterback. You're my leader out there. You look at how Purdue lines up. And if you think they're going to stop it because of how they're lining up, you check out of it. And here's the other play we're going to run. I don't know if they did that and he chose not to check out of it.
Yeah, there's no other play you can run with that formation. Everything was so bunched together.
It was bad.
Yeah. It should have been something going to the side. Your quarterback is super fast.
Yeah. Well, and he was carving us up on the outside multiple plays, especially in that second half when our defense was getting tired.
So just a bad, badly played, badly called, badly everything football game.
Honestly, I thought they might have tried to run their option on that 4th down.
Generally, it's a little bit of a risky play, but yeah, it would have worked better than that.
Well, right. Yeah, I mean, hindsight's 20/20. For all we know, they could have run that option and fumble.
I run the play action. I do a play action rollout, one receiver, or let Perry beat a guy to the edge.
Yeah, I mean, because
win the game or get the first down.
When you're the underdog, when you're on the road, you've got to find a way to win instead of playing conservatively. And in that instance, they played as conservatively as possible, hoping that they could, you know, just hang on and get the field goal to win the game. Whereas I think you're right. They probably could have gone for a knockout punch. And the way Purdue's secondary had played, it's possible they, you know, score a touchdown on that one play. Who knows? But Purdue was saved by the incompetence of the coaching staff of Florida Atlantic on that one, I think.
So is the seat hot?
No.
Really?
Because, listen.
You think Purdue fans are happy right
now? Hold on. No, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break. Gonna come back and I'm gonna answer that question. And we're back. So, Casey, before the break, you asked me if Brahms' seat was hot. I already told you no, but I want to tell you why. No, Purdue fans are not really happy right now. This is a team that a lot of us thought was gonna be sitting at 4-0 right now. Instead, we're at 2-2 with a loss to Syracuse, a loss to granted a Penn State team that seems to be very good.
Do you know what's funny? Travis was trying to do his are we the best 1-2 team in the country? I think we might be the worst 2-2 team in the country.
I'd have to go through the list, but we definitely are not the best 2-2 team in the country. I can guarantee that. So we lost to a Syracuse team that we shouldn't have lost to. We are continuously shooting ourselves in the foot. We are losing games because of Purdue, not because
creative
of our
opponent. Losing.
Yeah, and that is extremely frustrating. And Purdue fans are frustrated. You know, they come in our Twitter mentions, they come in our Facebook comments, they come in our on our website.
They come on your podcast to talk to you about Purdue football.
Yeah, exactly. I got one of them right here. But the fact of the matter is, Purdue is selling tickets, and that is what is important.
Will they continue? The reason we sold tickets is because we won games last year.
Yes.
Because it was fun.
But
no one went to this game and said, I can't wait to do this when it's 40 degrees outside.
No one left this game and said, man, I wish next week was a home game as they walked out of the stadium. So you are right that maybe it won't continue. But for now, Purdue season ticket sales have continued to climb. Money is coming in. This is what they need.
We've seen how fast Purdue ticket sales drop.
Oh, yeah. Purdue fans are fickle. Basketball even, too. So if those numbers start to drop, yes, he might have some problems. But I think, God, I hate to have to be the guy to, like, excuse all the idiotic things that have happened on this team. But
it's hard.
You're putting me in this position, so I'm going to have to give it my best shot. You have to remember who Purdue is missing at this game. Missing starting quarterback, probably our number two receiver in Brock Thompson, number one running back in King Doru, Jalen Graham, our number one, probably defender on the entire team, but certainly our number one linebacker. And those are just the ones that are coming off the top of my head. Purdue is missing a lot of pieces, and
that makes it really hard to make competent coaching decisions in a game.
You can make the competent coaching decisions all you want, but you can't make them execute. And sometimes when a tackle is missed, it's not because the kids don't know how to tackle. It's they just aren't there all mentally. Maybe they just made a mistake. You can't blame the coaches just necessarily for a missed tackle.
How about the consistent lack of discipline for tackling form?
No, less than that, maybe.
That's why they're missing tackles, Ledman.
I know
that. It's because they run with their shoulders, and that's all they do.
But look, I'm just saying, with all those players out, it is hard to cobble
Florida
together.
Atlanta.
Well, Florida Atlanta is not a team. We, however, did beat Florida Atlantic. It's frustrating, and I get it, but we hope that a lot of those guys can come back, and it will make the offense a little bit more explosive. And I do think Jalen Graham, hopefully, you know, they said he was going to be out 3 to 4 weeks. This was game three. He was out. So it would be absolutely great if he could come back for the Minnesota game. We really need a boost on that defense. And I do think he can be a difference maker on the defense. So to get him back would be huge. But it's frustrating to watch this team. I mean, there's no doubt about it. We thought this was going to be a team that could possibly win 10 games. Now I will be shocked if they win 7.
Shocked. Shocked. It's bleak. I got a call from a buddy, start of the third quarter, just because he's like, I need to talk to someone. It's not just me, right? Like, we are bad. We are doing dumb things. And I'm like, it's not just you. We are bad and doing dumb things.
Yeah, it is. It's very frustrating. It's hard to watch.
At Minnesota, Maryland, at Wisconsin, Iowa, at Illinois. I don't feel good about any of those games anymore.
I don't know about at Illinois. I mean, Illinois, I don't think is very good. But
you think they're better than Florida Atlantic?
I don't know.
You think they're that much worse than Syracuse?
See, I don't think it's a fair comparison.
They're the same color.
There you go. Wrap it up. Wrap it up in a bow.
I didn't include Indiana because they're, you know, the pathetic. But
yeah. The thing that you absolutely can put on the coaches and has been a problem throughout the entire tenure, and we talked about it last week, the absolute lack of discipline, the constant penalties, and not just penalties, the boneheaded penalties. It's just game after game, Purdue finds a way to shoot themselves in the foot, and I don't know what can be done to fix the problem. I mean, granted, the penalty numbers were down. It was only 5 penalties for 55 yards. But, man, they were important penalties. They were in important spots. And because of one of those penalties, Purdue gave up 7 points. And it's maddening to watch.
Yeah. What'd you think of the jerseys?
You mean the helmet?
No. The fact that our numbers don't match our dumb jerseys.
What do you mean?
The number color, the gold, is a different color gold than our pants. I don't know where the gold color from our pants came from.
I don't.
It looks so bad. It looks like a poorly designed video game jersey.
Calm down. The problem is, apparently, because I remember this came up so often when I was a grad assistant in the athletic department, you know, anytime we're making the posters for the upcoming year or, you know, trying to grab an image, people are always complaining about the gold because we don't use the old gold that we used to. We now use a color called Vegas gold. There's a dispute about who's to blame, but most people blame Nike because they claim that they don't have this kind of specific old gold that we used to use. But that sounds like a bunch of BS to me because you look at all the other jerseys that Nike makes, you can find colors that are more that are a lot closer to Purdue gold than what we have right now. So that is frustrating. But I didn't even register with me.
First thing I noticed.
That is surprising.
What? It turned the game on. We weren't making dumb decisions yet.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. So. I guess so. I want to talk about one more thing. This is something that you and Kyle talked about in the group chat, and I thought it'd be fun to discuss. When Purdue scored their touchdown, decided only to go for one, that put them up 8. Both you and Kyle thought maybe going for two there, putting yourselves – okay, you definitely thought going for two there, putting themselves possibly up 9 was the better decision. Do you stand by that decision?
Absolutely. First of all, you force them to score twice, which makes them rush on offense when they have the ball. It makes it more able for you to just run the clock and run the ball out. And second of all, like we saw, they got the ball back, and all they had to do was make a field goal to win. I would much rather risk them deciding to go for two to beat us by one than to give them a field goal to win at the end of a game.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with all of that, but your assumption is Purdue gets the two-point conversion.
I'm saying I would rather risk them missing it, because if they miss it, they're still up 7.
Correct.
So you are not only Florida Atlantic, they would have to decide to go for two. I know you said they should, and yeah, they probably should. No guarantee they're going to. Nothing in that game said they couldn't stick with Purdue in overtime. Nothing. Right. But not only would they have to make that play, then they would have to make the two-point conversion. That's harder to do than the difference between having to drive, first of all, a field goal to win, but also two possessions of having to get a touchdown and a field goal.
Yeah, I understand that. And you are right that, you know, they did score, of course, that put them down by two. They decided to go for two, missed it off a wacky play.
It worked until it didn't work.
Yeah, I mean, their wide receiver was wide open, but I don't know.
That was a throw.
You got to have that guy. You got to know that guy can throw the ball.
Yeah.
And
I guess it's a low risk throw because, like, unlikely it's going to get returned.
Yeah.
But whew.
He must have shown something in practice that he could make that throw. But man, sure was not even close in the game.
No.
And you do. I mean, you make a good point. If they go for two and get it, Purdue's up 9, 2 possessions, no matter what they do on the touchdown. However, you have to think of the worst case scenario. And the worst case scenario is Purdue goes for two, they miss it, they're up 7. FAU goes down and scores, down by 1. They decide to roll the dice, they go for two, get it. All of a sudden, they're up 1. However much time is left, Purdue can't score again. They lose by 1. Then you got Brohm being accused of chasing points, and it's his fault they lost. And it's one of those, it would be brilliant if it works, but you're a goat. You're a goat.
I don't know, because, like, they were a lot closer to lose this game. All they had to do was make a 4th-and-1 and go about 20 more yards, and they would have had a field goal to win.
Yeah,
and that's the
right.
Same exact way. That's because Brohm didn't go after point.
Mm-hmm.
So I would rather have the fate in my hand to make a 2-point conversion and shut the team out every day of the week, especially if I'm more talented. I want to put my cleats to their throat. And if you if you just kick the field goal there and keep it a 1-possession game, you are allowing them to be in it.
Well, and I guess Purdue did allow them to be in it, but luckily we found a way to stop them on both.
We did.
Well, they stopped themselves.
Yes.
On the 2-point conversion and the 4th-and-1. But man, what a game!
Bleak sauce.
Yeah. So bleak. Now Purdue sits at 2-2. One of the strangest 2-2 teams I can remember. And now we got a week. Now we got a week to figure out who.
We've gotten worse every game of the season.
It does seem well.
You can't count the Indiana State.
I was gonna say you got to throw out the Indiana
like
State
not a game.
Yeah,
we looked competitive up until the end, and we started shooting ourselves in the foot.
Yeah, and Syracuse, that Penn State game was fun to watch too. Yeah. That was an entertaining game. The ending sucked. Would have rather have it back, but it was fun to watch. It really made me excited about what Purdue football could be this year. And then ever since, yeah, as you said,
Syracuse, we were bad for
State.
Three quarters.
Yeah.
And then got real hot and then shot ourselves in the foot again.
Mm-hmm.
And this game was just pure. We couldn't handle a Conference USA team at home. I don't care that we had a backup quarterback. I just don't care.
Yeah, Purdue's we got to figure out who is going to be healthy for next week. Would love to have AOC back. Would love to have Graham back.
I'm on the road to Minnesota. It's going to be a rough noon.
Yeah, it's. I am not looking forward to this game because Minnesota is a good team. We've never won in this stadium, and watching PJ Fleck have success is not great for my self-esteem.
Buckle up.
Yeah.
You might want to go schedule a Bluey concert somewhere.
First of all, it's not a concert. It's a play.
Wow.
Second of all, it's not in D.C. yet. That's not until late October or November. November, whatever
I'm sure
it is.
It's somewhere.
It probably is. It's a traveling show. It. All right, folks, there we go. This has been the most depressing podcast that I've done after a victory. So take that.
Yeah, apparently Brom sounded that way, too. I went to go close the TV off, and I heard the announcer being like, I can't believe that Brom sounded so mad and upset there. I mean, you got the win. You got to just be happy, and then tomorrow you can break it. And no one should feel happy. There should be no joy in Boiler Country.
No. No, absolutely not.
Fireball of failure.
I hope we got a bunch of people running some stairs in Ross 8 after all those stupid penalties.
Brom should be leading the charge.
Hey, let's have him out there too. Everybody's got to learn. We all can be better. We all can be better. So that's it, folks. 2-2. Rough time after a win. Everybody needs to get better. That goes coaching staff. That goes players. Hope everybody's running some steps, as I said. Do some mountains. Let's go. We'll see you in Minnesota next week, folks.
Boiler.
Mid.
Boiler.
Boiler lower mid. The low mid.
Boiler.
At least the West.